This is the Motley Fool Radio Show, and now it's time to go to the Fool phones for all your financial questions and comments. I'm joined once again by Motley Fool personal finance expert, Deanna Yoakum. Welcome, Deanna.
Thanks, David.
Let's go to the phones to Wilton Manors, Florida. Gary, welcome to the Motley Fool Radio Show.
Thanks, David. Glad to be here.
What's on your mind?
Well, I am a federal employee, so I have invested in the federal government's version of the TSP, or the 401k, which is the TSP.
Okay.
And I also have a Roth IRA, and I hear you guys talking about all kinds of cool individual investing opportunities, and I'm not really sure about how to go about getting started in that. I want to make sure that I'm investing in something that's socially and environmentally responsible, and I want a good return, of course, as well. How do I get started?
It's the American dream, Deanna. A socially responsible winning investment.
Right. And there are two questions here.
Yeah.
So finding socially responsible companies, how do you find them? And number two, how do you find the ones that are going to be great investments?
Well, let's talk about both. Gary, have you ever bought a stock before?
I never have, no.
So this would
represent... Strictly in the mutual funds, nothing direct.
Okay. Okay. But it sounds like you've been pretty diligent in getting your financial life in order. How old are you today?
I am 40.
Excellent. So you're
40's
at the middle of your tether.
40's the new 30. I just
want to
say that.
I like that.
Okay.
I like that too, at the age of 38. So, Gary, I understand where you're coming from, and I'm very happy to hear that you're thinking beyond just what you've already set up, because that shows that you've already kind of created a good core foundation for your finances when we're talking about the equivalent of your 401k plan through the federal government and a Roth outside of that. But we do advocate investing in stocks. I like to think that everyone in America might own one stock, even if it's just a small portion of our portfolio. Because I think just getting your hands wet, feet wet a little bit, hands dirty, feet wet.
Fingernails, scuffed, I don't know.
In mutual funds, there seem to be socially responsible funds and environmentally responsible funds, and a lot of times the twain never meets. So I was looking at something that might meet both of those goals, have a good return on it, and again, get my hands wet and my feet dirty, so to speak, as you said.
Gary, earlier I characterized what you're looking for as the American dream, trying to find things that do well and make us feel good. And I do believe, since we are in America, that it is possible to live that dream. And in many cases, it begins by looking at stocks of companies that you already buy from. Because my presumption there is that those are companies that you respect.
Okay.
And it sounds like you're probably environmentally aware, if nothing else, and perhaps you even purchase products that adhere to that kind of outlook on the world. So let's say products that are made with recycled materials, or shopping in stores that, you know, are known for the way that they treat the planet in, say, the gathering of their produce the raising of their meat. So that's a wonderful place to start for any investment, looking at where we already go, products we use, places we shop.
Can you think of two or three companies that, based on what we've just said here, might start to fulfill what we're talking about?
Yeah, actually, Target, Dayton Hudson Corporation, does a lot of environmentally oriented things with the agency that I work for, which is the National Park Service.
Can you give an example for the fun of it?
Sure. They helped to fund the restoration of the Washington Monument, for example. It was a big part of Target's push a few years ago. They build homes in every town that they go into with a new store. They build a home with Habitat for Humanity. So they're doing a lot of neat things in that way.
But I think the point here is, when you find a company, say, that's doing well, or a company that you like, that this is just one other item to add to your checklist, Gary.
I agree.
Does this meet all of the criteria for what I consider a good investment? So not only the bottom line numbers, which you can, we talk about that all the time on the show and also on our website, how to evaluate a stock, but also how to evaluate whether it is a company that you would want to do business with and actually own a part of.
Gary, how about to close one unique bit of trivia about our nation's National Park Service?
Okay.
Can you give us one?
The largest marine park in the national park system covers 172,000 acres. It's mostly water, coral reefs, the northernmost Florida Keys, beautiful waters of Biscayne Bay, and that's where I work. It's Biscayne National Park. Stunning place. You don't have to go down to the lower Keys to see the great stuff in South Florida.
I can tell you, I wish I were there right now.
It sounds beautiful.
Come on down. I'll give you a tour.
Thank you very much, Gary, and best wishes for your investing.
Thank you, David and Deanna. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. The phone number is 866-NPR-FOOL. And now we're going to Colin in St. Louis.
Hi.
Hi, Colin. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good. What's on your mind today?
Well, I have a question. I recently got a $20,000 inheritance when my grandfather died and have absolutely no idea what to do with it.
All right. No ideas whatsoever?
Well, I mean, I could stick it in the bank account.
But. Okay.
Well, Colin, is it in fact in a bank account now, or where's the money?
It's in a money market savings account.
Okay, so it's racking up a little interest here.
Yeah, I'd like it to keep ahead of inflation if possible, but I also don't want to do any work following it around.
Okay.
In terms of investing.
Well, it's good. You're giving us an idea of what kind of investor you want to be, and also how tied you want to be to this money on a day-to-day basis.
Yeah.
And I have to say, I think moving it to the money market right away was a good first move. Colin, probably the first thing you want to think about is your financial situation in general right now, because $20,000 is a nice little lump sum, well, not so little lump sum,
mm-hmm.
which could really help you out in areas that you might possibly need help. So you might want to look at, do you have credit card debt?
No.
You do not?
No.
Excellent. Do you have short-term savings? Let's say you lost your job and were out of work for, say, 3 or 6 months. Do you have money to cover your expenses?
Yes.
Okay, great. Third question, do you have a work retirement plan? Have you invested at all for the long-term future?
I have an IRA I have a regular IRA with a little more than $10,000 in it.
Mm-hmm. Okay, great. Four, are you single?
No, I'm married.
Okay.
Nice try, Dan. That was pathetic.
I was like, God, this guy sounds great. So do you work for a company that has a retirement plan?
Yes.
You do. And you do not contribute to that in any way?
No, because I'm a full-time employee, but I'm only planning on working here for 2 years before I go back to school.
Mm-hmm. That's actually, it doesn't matter. You can definitely contribute to that plan while you're working there. And once you leave a company, depending on how much money you have in that plan, you can either leave it there in the investments that you've chosen, or you can roll it over into your own IRA or a self-directed IRA, or perhaps in the future, a new company that you're working for.
Hmm. It strikes me, Diana, that Colin just said something pretty important, which is that he's thinking of going back to school sometime in the next couple of years. Would some of this money help you with tuition?
Well, no, I'd actually be getting paid to go back to school. So you're on a stipend in a PhD program for biology.
Well, that's wonderful. And that's just the way I'd like to go to school myself, have somebody else paying for me to do that, or paying me to do that. Sounds great.
Well, that's great. So it sounds like you're not going to need to take out a student loan then to pay for school. Is that
not
correct?
My wife will, though.
Oh.
Sorry, my wife's going to medical school in a year.
Okay. Have you looked into your options as far as funding that schooling?
Yeah, it's going to be all loans.
Aha. Uh-huh. I hope you've gotten some good rates there.
haven't taken them yet. So.
Okay. All right. Well, your goal is to lock in the lowest rate possible there. Now, a lot of people might say throw the $20,000 at school costs right now. But, you know, they're different kinds of debts. There's the good debt and bad debt. And I think school loans, in my book at least, are considered a debt worth having.
Yeah, let's be clear. Good debt on the Motley Fool radio show means debt that usually is going towards something that will create value for you, not lose value over time. And coincidentally, or maybe not, it usually comes with much lower interest rates. The opposite of that is of course, bad debt, credit card debt being one example, and that's higher interest rate debt for stuff that may be here today and gone tomorrow. So to bring things to a close here, what would be your goal for this money, Colin? I think we kind of neglected to ask you that. Do you want this to be retirement money, or do you have it earmarked for some other purpose?
It's definitely not for retirement. I'm thinking down payment on a first home,
mm-hmm.
something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's probably my goal for it.
That's great. That's good to know as well. I think when you come into a sum of money like that, it's a good time, since you're married, sit down and talk with your spouse about financial priorities. And if you're a renter now, or say you want to move or own a home in the near future, then this is a great head start to that. And if you are going to buy a home, let's say in the next 2 to 5 years,
mm-hmm.
I wouldn't risk that money in the stock market.
Would it be worthwhile to go for a CD or something?
Yes, it definitely would. In fact, since we can get CDs in anything from 3 months to 3 years or so these days, and you know that the longer the time that you secure the money away in that CD, the better the interest rate you'll get, I think that's definitely worth looking at. You know, it's funny because there's no right answer for this, Colin. I mean, the best way for any of us to think about a chunk of change that we've been given and what a wonderful gift that is to ask, what is my purpose for this money? What do I intend for this money? That really does kind of control how it should be invested in a very important way. It comes down to time horizon. So if you're looking inside 5 years for using that cash, what we continue to advise here from Fool HQ is that you do not put that money out there on the stock market, because you'd hate to think that through a bad 4 years of market machinations, which happen from time to time, you have less than you started with, and all of a sudden it's hard to make the down payment.
Sure.
By the same token, if you do extend it up to around 5 years or so, that's a long enough time that you don't really want it just sitting there in a money market fund. And so for that reason, you might want to actually put it in a balanced index fund, which mixes in bonds with stocks and gives you about an 8 or 9% return as opposed to, you know, a higher, riskier stock market return. That's a valid decision, too. A lot of it will end up coming down to when you think that first down payment would be made on the house.
Okay.
All right. Thank you very much for calling. I hope we helped out a little bit.
Absolutely.
Great.
Thank you so much.
Take care.
Good
Bye.
Luck, Colin.
Bye.
The phone number is 866-NPR-FOOL, and we're going to Paul in West Brooklyn, Illinois. Hi, Paul.
How you doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm just fine.
Good. What's on your mind today?
Well, I was wondering, I listen to the show all the time, and I've gotten some good information from it. And I was wondering, how do you, is it the ticker, that little three-letter number they put on the stocks or the company, name of the company?
Mm-hmm, three or four letters, uh-huh.
Yeah, how do you get that number for a company, or that letter set for a company, the ticker?
Do you have a particular company in mind?
Actually, I'm looking for a company called Takara Toys.
Mm-hmm.
Out of Japan, and I'm not sure if they're on the American market or the Japanese market.
That's a good question.
But I'd like to find out.
That's a good question.
I call that a two-part question, Dan.
Sorry.
Let's take them in order. No, both interesting and good, relevant questions, Paul. How do I find a ticker symbol for a company? Usually, I'll try to go to that company's website. Mm-hmm. And most companies now have an About Us section. And usually, if you click that, there will be an investor relations section if the company is public. In fact, it's almost guaranteed that they'll have that. And you can see usually the ticker symbol listed right there in tabular format right up front.
Okay.
So that's usually what I do. Of course, you can also use different financial sites these days and do ticker lookups, type in a company name, and usually it'll spit back a few different options about what might be the company you're looking for if it's a public company.
Okay.
So there's a simple answer to question number one. Now, Takara Toys, Diana, this is an interesting company. It is a toy company. I do not own stock because, for one thing, it's not an American stock.
Okay.
And Paul, as we, so then the separate question is, well, how do I find a foreign ticker symbol? Mm-hmm. And there I would still probably default to the internet, although I'll tell you, if I had a broker, here's where you can actually make your broker do a little bit of extra work, which is, I think, what they're supposed to be doing. And you can ask your broker to look up for you what foreign exchange a stock may be traded on and what its ticker symbol is. In Germany, the ticker symbols are numbers. So, and sometimes more than just three. So it's different from by country. But Takara Toys.
They're international, I would think.
Yes, they are. But let me ask you, what is your interest in Takara Toys? This is a really interesting toy company.
Well, actually, they own a company called Blue Box Toys, or better known as BBI. And they make a very high-quality 1/6 scale, 12-inch action figure, quite a few of them, actually. But and I've heard that they're going to do some new stuff that really looks interesting, and I think it's going to help the company a lot.
And so are you purchasing this for yourself as a hobbyist? Do you have kids?
Yes, I'm a collector and a customizer.
Okay. And a customizer, what does that mean?
I buy figures, action figures, 12-inch, and I either customize their clothing, their face, repaints, hair, you name it. And a lot of times I buy figures just for the costume and then put it on a different figure to make the kind of action figure that I want to have.
That's fascinating. So let me ask you, Paul, what's the end goal there? Is it a wonderful collection personally, or are you then selling them on eBay, or what's going on there?
It's a little of both. Actually, my collection started when I was 3 years old. My uncle was a door gunner in Vietnam, and on his when he took his leave, he went to Japan and bought me my first one, and it's just gone nuts since then.
Wow, that's wonderful. And obviously, whether it is eBay or just something, looking back, what is your greatest creation? When you think back on what you've customized, what are you proudest of?
Actually, I have a I have a female Cantina band member from the Star Wars original Star Wars movie that started out male and is now female.
Excellent. And that was a great scene, obviously. And
oh, yeah.
I guess you're keeping her near and dear. You're not about to shop her on a
didn't. And I had help. My wife actually did. She has tattoos on her head, and she actually did the tattoos for me.
Wow.
So, yeah, it's kind of a joint project present type thing.
Understood.
Could you do that with a David Gardner action figure as well?
You know, I wish one existed.
Sure, you know, we do that. Salton Sea Bay on his back.
Okay, so speaking a little bit more broadly about this particular company, I mean, this is a company that has been very innovative. I'm looking at their website right now, and I see they have a USA branch that has things like Hello Kitty accoutrements, but also if you then click over to their Japanese site, which is, of course, mostly in Japanese, I'm seeing there is an English link to where you can translate their press releases, and wow, they are creating... here's a car that is one-third the size of a normal car, and it's electric and can be driven around quite seriously by one person. And you know,
Takara's Toys started out just doing models, and they've branched out so much and diversified. It's astronomical. They're a great company.
It's a very impressive company, and I think it's cool what they're doing. So then, of course, we ask, well, is this a stock? Since we're looking at the ticker, is this a stock we'd buy? And we're not going to come down with a firm word yes or no at this point, but I would suggest that, first of all, you try to the best extent possible, look at a few of the numbers for this company. We're talking about it as a great company.
Yeah.
Have sales been rising over the last 5 years? That's a good big picture way of viewing things. We'll assume this company's profitable. It has a history. It's grounded, and I would assume so. But are its profits rising?
Yeah.
And probably secondarily, as a percentage of its sales, are profits going up? For example, last year maybe it made 4 pennies on a dollar of sales. What about this year? Are they up to 5 pennies? Are they increasing their relative profitability? Those are usually good signs of a well-managed company. You know, the closest thing to Takara Toys that I've ever invested in is Marvel. Which has been a very successful investment for me over the last 3 or 4 years. And obviously they're all about action figures and toys and making money off of superheroes.
Sure.
So I would probably compare those two companies a little bit. Paul, thanks for a great call and best wishes going forward.
Thank you. Same to you.
And that's all the time we have for the Fool Phones this week.